Transform your life today. Welcome to Supercoach with Michael Neal.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be. Our topic for today is the problem with advice and the numbers to call to get coaching on having what you want and thriving in every area of your life. 866-254-1579. It's toll-free in the United States and Canada. 866-254-1579. Or from outside the U.S., you can reach the show by dialing 001-760-918-4300. And I wrote in the blurb about today's show, ever wonder why knowing that smoking is bad for you, deep fried food won't make you thin, and don't date losers doesn't stop us from smoking, eating French fries, and making other poor choices? Well, that's what I want to look at today. I want to look at what is it that lets us still think that advice is what people need or what we need when we're a bit confused and a bit lost. And what's the alternative? And, you know, people who've not listened to the show before, and I always say to people who are new to the show, listen three times. Plan to listen to three shows, because the first show, you're just going to get a feel for how we do things here. The second show, you're going to begin to see that there's a consistency, that there is a fundamental paradigm behind everything that I talk about on this show, which is what I call the inside-out paradigm, which is the fundamental understanding that our experience of life unfolds from the inside out. We don't experience the world. We experience our thinking. And it turns out that one simple misunderstanding underpins so much of our behavior that when you begin to kind of turn the world back the right way around, when you begin to recognize the inside out nature of reality, so much of your behavior takes care of itself. So many of the things you've struggled with start to clear up. And it's one of the reasons why I don't give advice on the show. By the way, so I can feel three people in the background going, what was the third show for? Well, the first show is to get a sense of it. The second show is to begin to see the underlying paradigm. And the third one is to decide whether or not you want to keep listening. And that seems to work pretty well for people. You'll know. At first, it's a little funny for people. And one of the reasons is because I don't give advice. It's a weekly radio show where people call in for advice. They call in for coaching. And instead of giving them advice on health or happiness or starting a business or starting a family, we have a conversation about the nature of thought, or a conversation about the nature of consciousness, or a conversation about how human beings deal with problems in their life. And what people find once they've listened a couple times, once they relax into that, is they tend to leave the show feeling lighter. That's what people say. You know, I just feel better after I've listened to your show. I've got a greater sense of clarity about my situation. I've got a greater sense of clarity about my life. And often people will say, and I mean, I know you didn't give any advice, but I came away kind of knowing what to do next. And what I wanted to talk about today is a little bit about how that works and why that works. So again, I'm going to go to calls later in the show. Numbers to call, 866-254-1579, U.S. and Canada, 001-760-918-4300, everywhere else. And what I want you to do is I want you to imagine for the next couple minutes that you're a highly paid consultant. Okay, and your reputation has been built on your ability to solve other people's problems. And I want you to really listen to these scenarios I'm going to lay out. And I want you to really think about, well, what would your advice be in each of the following scenarios? Like if you were being paid to give advice. So the first one is there's a presidential candidate's wife. Okay, so you've been called by the wife of a high-profile candidate for the presidency, obviously, in 2016. And just last week, the candidate was revealed by a national newspaper to have been involved in an ongoing sexual affair of a morally dubious nature. And his wife was in floods of tears and told you that half of her advisors were pressuring her to leave immediately, and the other half were pressuring her to stand by her man. What advice would you give her? Okay, now here's somebody else comes to you. He's a high-level executive for a major player in the banking industry, and he was one of those guys who warned his bosses and everyone else in the company that the crash was coming. But despite the warnings, they pressed on with the risky lending policies, and when the crash came, his bank crashed right along with it. And if it hadn't been for a government bailout, a few lucky bounces, they would be out of business. Well, when the dust settled and it was clear that the bank had weathered the crisis, the executive was fired without cause. Now, when he first meets with you, he's stressed. And he's so stressed that you're kind of worried about his health. And you wonder if maybe you should send him on to a therapist. Because one minute he's railing against the system and his bosses, and he wants to go public and take his story to the press and take tens of millions of dollars of litigation for wrongful termination to the courts. And a minute later, he's in tears in the corner of your office, and he's barely able to speak. And he's just wondering aloud if it's worth carrying on in a world filled with backstabbing friends and corporate greed. Well, what advice would you give him? All right, let me give you another one. Okay, it's you. You're a consultant, right? You're a high-level consultant. You've been building your consultancy practice to a really high level. And it's worked. It's gotten you national recognition. And one of the largest players in the world of consultancy just offered to buy you out for a ton of money on one condition. You stay on and you work with them for the next 5 years. Now, it's going to involve even longer hours than you've been putting in, but, you know, it's a lot of money, and you finally would be in the big time. And you know, in some level, that you ought to be ecstatic about it because you've been kind of working towards this for your whole adult life. But the truth is, you're not really enjoying your work anymore. It's not as satisfying as it used to be. And you have had a few health scares of your own in the past year. And your doctor told you last time you went in, which was quite a while ago, that if you kept trying to keep up the pace you're going at, you're a prime candidate for an early heart attack. Now, it's not just that, because your spouse keeps telling you that you need to slow down and work less, while simultaneously and somewhat passive-aggressively making it clear that they'd be much happier in an even bigger house in an even nicer neighborhood and all that entails. Well, what advice would you give yourself? Okay, one more. Last one. You're enjoying a relaxing day in the countryside. You're just out for a walk along a dirt road, a few miles from the nearest town, and a car comes screeching around the corner at 50 miles an hour, and it skids to a stop, and it just misses hitting you. And the car is caked in mud, and when it stops, some of the mud comes flying off and hits you in the face. And you are just standing there, grunge dripping off your face and your glasses, and you kind of notice you can barely even see into the car because there's so much mud on the windshield. And layers of this gloppy mud start falling to the ground, and the driver rolls down his window, and he is so apologetic. And he just launches into a story about his wife and his children are in the hospital in a nearby town, and he nearly drowned because his car went off the road into a swamp because he was in such a rush, but he had to get there. What advice would you give him? Now, I've asked this question of a number of people over the years, and for most people, they find the driver in the mud the easiest advice to give, because pretty much everyone recognizes he's got to slow down, and at the very least, he better clean his windshield before he carries on driving. And a lot of people really feel for him. They feel, you know, compassion. They recognize that, you know, the mud that they've got on them is really not a big deal compared to what this guy's going through. And some people say, oh, I'd drive him into town. You know, because they can tell. Look, he's in no fit state to be doing much of anything, let alone getting behind the wheel of a car. Well, what's interesting is the exact same thing is going on in all of the scenarios that I've described. So the presidential candidate's wife, she's driving blind too, because she's trying to find her way forward by listening to people shouting directions at her instead of slowing down and taking the time to let the windshield of her thinking clear so that she can see for herself, so that she can tap into her own common sense and wisdom. And the banker, the stressed out banker, well, he's spinning his wheels in the mud of his circumstances. And he's kind of alternating between like trying to blast his way out by revving the engine, which of course gets him stuck even deeper in the muck, and then giving up in despair because every time he revs his engine, he gets more and more and more stuck. And you, the consultant version of you, right, you're going faster and faster to meet the needs and wants of everyone else, even though it seems like doing what it takes to meet those needs is doing some irreparable damage to your body and to your health in the process. And that's the inherent problem with even the best advice. Until you regain your bearings until you slow down, until your windshield clears, you can't use it. Once you've regained your bearings, you don't need it. And that's an interesting thing to begin to realize, that when we're stuck, the solution isn't finding a solution. The solution is coming back to ourselves, coming back to our own inner wisdom, our own innate common sense, and listening. Now, that's not to say you never listen to others. That's not to say that in practical matters, you know, if you're trying to figure out how to get on the internet or how to fix your internet, you might not let somebody tell you. But it's just saying that when it comes to navigating our lives, when it comes to solving our problems, we spend way too much time seeking out advice and nowhere near enough time listening to our own wisdom. And every time we give advice, we're reinforcing that. We're coming at it the same way. And even if our advice is brilliant, most of the time, it's just enough to keep the person driving for a few more miles with a windshield caked in mud. So, numbers to call, 866-254-1579, toll-free in the United States and Canada. Internationally, 001-760-918-4300. And we're going to begin today in Denver. I'm speaking to Lynette. Lynette, welcome to the show. What are we going to talk about today?
Yeah, hi, Michael. I really enjoyed the beginning segment there. There's a lot to take in. Appreciate that. I'm calling because I feel like I grew up with a hypercritical parental figure. And I feel like it relates a lot to what you're saying, that I go around kind of questioning my own judgment. And especially when I'm around other people, it's almost kind of like I feel like who I am kind of disappears. And I go into this automatic mode of what can I do to make this person like me, to make this person approve of me. You know, what do I almost become like a robot? Like I need to make sure that I get their approval in every way, shape or form. And it's like later on when kind of the dust settles and I'm at home and I'm thinking about how I would have responded to something or how I would have reacted if I was just comfortable in my own skin and just said what I felt, you know, without being so concerned about how I'm being received or perceived by the other person.
Yeah.
And I would love to just get out of that because it feels almost automatic, you know, and it's just, be growing out of that by
absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely. Now, do you want, let's see, I've got good news, bad news, and better news. I'm going to give them all to you. So let's figure out the sequence. Okay, so the bad news, let me start there. Mm-hmm. The bad news is there's almost certainly always going to be an element of that in your behavior.
Mm, okay.
It's cultural. You know, most of us have been brought up in any culture to people please. And it's one of those things that, in my experience, when people try to root it out and get rid of it completely, they kind of turn into, I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say dickheads, but I'm going to just say dickheads. You get my point. Now, that doesn't mean it can't get a lot better, and that doesn't mean that it needs to keep controlling your behavior. So that was the bad news, is like if the goal is to never, ever, ever do that again and still be a reasonable human being, you might struggle with that.
I see. The
good news is the reason that you're very aware of doing it is because you've already started to stop.
Okay.
So in other words, the very fact that you're noticing yourself acting like a robot is a huge leap from the robotness that had been going on before you started noticing.
Right. Okay.
So that's the good news. But I promised you better news as well.
Good. Okay.
Okay. Phew. Okay. So the better news is that the more you said it, the more if only you were comfortable in your own skin.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's the only reason that I know that people aren't comfortable in their own skin is because they think their thinking is real. So we all have thoughts in our head throughout the day, right? All day long, we're thinking. And some of those thoughts are inevitably going to be about us. How am I doing? You know, how am I looking? Do they like me? Am I likable? You know, all those kinds of things.
Right.
Now, if I take those thoughts seriously, if I think that it's important that I answer those questions and that I answer them in the right way and that I do something about those thoughts, well, then I'm going to have the kind of life that you have, and I'm either going to be people-pleasing or trying not to people-please.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I see that those thoughts really are no more significant than, you know, the crawl on the bottom of a news show when I'm not interested in the news, right? They're just background noise that's
right.
going on in my head, that's playing in, you know, it's like you go into some bookshops or coffee shops and the music's playing. When you first go in, you just think, oh, I'm not going to be able to concentrate here. But if you stay there for a while, you completely tune it out.
Tune it out, yeah.
Well, mm-hmm. that's what starts to happen. When you see that kind of personal thinking for what it is, it gets easier and easier to just kind of go, you know, Lynette's thinking again. And to,
right.
and what happens is, when you let the thoughts flow through without trying to control them or block them or not have these ones and have more of these ones, the nature of thought is that it does flow through.
Right.
And when thought flows through, you feel in the flow. And when
yeah.
you feel in the flow, you're naturally present and responsive to the actual needs of a situation, as opposed to whatever personal needs your thinking is telling you you've got to get taken care of.
Right. Is that more so like in the moment, or is it when I'm thinking about, say, a situation after it's happened? You know, when I'm going through my brain, oh, I should have done this, I shouldn't have said that. You know, I want to kind of be able to turn that on in the present moment. And
well,
and
yeah,
myself.
Absolutely. And that is, in a funny way, it's always on. The thing that's worth turning off is the idea that there's some value in going in there and messing with it. So it's like I had a conversation with a client yesterday, and it was a similar kind of a situation, and she suddenly had an insight. And that's, by the way, you know, to tie it back to the theme of the show, that's the reason we don't ultimately need advice, is because when we look in the direction of where is our experience coming from, we inevitably have insight. And an insight is like advice from inside you. And because it's from inside you, it doesn't have to get through all the filters that if I gave you advice, they'd have to get through.
Right.
In other words, it's coming up. You already get it by the time you get an insight. And so this woman, she had an insight, and she said, oh, it's like dandelions. Now, I had no idea what she was talking about, but I said, okay, tell me, how is it like dandelions? And she said, well, imagine you've got yellow dandelions, and those are really nice ones, and green dandelions, and those are really bad, and red dandelions, and those are really important. She said, it's like I've been trying to collect all the yellow dandelions that come through my head, and I've been trying to get rid of or block out all the green ones, and I've been trying to hang on really tight to all the red ones. And she said, of course nothing can get through. I'm so busy up there that I'm not in any way, shape, or form available to what's actually going on around me.
Right.
Well, that's kind of the same thing that you're describing, is, you know, the fact that it seems relevant to you in the moment that you're with somebody. Well, I wonder what they're thinking about me. Gee, I wish I knew. Well, maybe if I do this, then they'll think something good about me, because that would, the fact that it's not the fact that thinking happens, right? We've all got our own little neurotic thinking. But it's the fact that it seems significant and important and worth listening to that's getting
right.
in your way.
Yeah. Yeah. I understand what you're saying.
You know, so, I mean, the question that occurs to me is, you know, what would it be like not to try to stop that, but to just kind of let it be on in the background until it isn't?
Yeah, it's like a part of me, I almost feel like almost paralyzed in the moment, kind of like I don't know what to do. Without having access to, like, who I am, as opposed to who I feel like, you know, they want me to be in the moment. Or I
well,
need to be happy
yeah.
right now. I need to, you know.
And all of that, right. And those are more thoughts about how I'm supposed to be and how I'm supposed
right.
to do and what I'm supposed to do. And it's I'm not, like I say, I'm not suggesting for a minute that that's going to suddenly stop.
Right, yeah.
I'm saying that, you know, that's like saying, hey, how can I possibly be with people if they're playing classical music in the background? I hate classical music. Well, get over
right.
it. I mean, that really isn't a problem. It's just, you know, you've kind of decided that, oh, no, I can't be this way with this playing in the background. And what's really interesting, and this is just my experience, but it's experience over 22 years, is that it's often a lot quicker than you think it's going to be. Like, even though you've been in this habit for a very long time, because it's only made of thought, it's not like, you know, we talk about a habit and it sounds like a real thing, right? You know, it's like, what's right in that wheelbarrow, Bob? Oh, I've got my habits. I got so many of them now that I'm just carrying them around in a wheelbarrow. It's easier, right? You know, effectively, there's no such thing. We feel our thinking in the moment.
Right.
And so if in this moment, I'm thinking lots of thoughts about what you're thinking about me, and I'm paying attention to them as if like they're more important than my actually connecting with you and being with you, I'm gonna struggle. The second that I recognize the only reason I'm here in the first place is to connect with you.
Right.
The only reason I'm here at all is to enjoy myself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then all that noise really is just noise. And the funny thing is, when you stop listening, I don't know, right? I don't know that they've got a way of measuring whether it really stops or whether we just stop hearing it.
Mm-hmm.
But the effect is the same either way.
Right. I think I got it. Just had like a click moment.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Yeah, that's, I appreciate that.
That's beautiful. That's what an insight feels like.
Mm-hmm. It does.
Thank you. That's fantastic,
Lynette. Noticing the difference, you know, Gary. I think that helped a lot. Thank you.
You bet. Thank you.
Thanks. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
You too. And you know, it's like that. You know, I always know that we, you know, one of the reasons I said the thing at the beginning about, well, you know, listen more than once is because you might have listened to that and gone, well, what did she get? What happened? Suddenly she just, the nature of an insight is it is from inside. So you may have had your own insight as you were listening to that, and it may have been the same or completely different to the insight that Lynette had. And that's absolutely fine. We live in separate realities. You live in your thinking. I live in my thinking. But we also both live in this larger whole. We both are part of this larger energy, this larger intelligence, this larger unfolding. And when we stop individuating so much, when we stop worrying so much about, well, now is this me or is this them? And where are the boundaries? And just allow the unfolding to unfold, we find ourselves feeling a much more natural sense of connection and wholeness with one another. And that can be a really, really beautiful thing. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about what's going on. I've got a new book coming out in May, The Inside Out Revolution. And it is going to be actually, it's coming out May 6th all around the world. But if you're listening from the UK and you can come along to one of our events coming up in London at the beginning of April, we're going to have copies, actual physical copies there that you can pick up. And the events we've got, you can go to the website supercoach.com. And you'll see information about the events. The other thing I wanted to tell you about is I've got a new site for the book called InsideOutRevolution.com. And if you go to the site and you sign up, it's free, you'll get immediate access so you can read the foreword by Dr. George Pransky, who was a guest on this show just a couple of weeks ago. You'll get to read the introduction in the first chapter. And we're going to be adding in more and more things over time. So we're going to be adding in the next couple of days, I'm going to be starting a blog there called Launching the Revolution, where I'm going to share my sort of experience of beginning to get this book out into the world, which is always an interesting process. And it, particularly this time around, because I don't know how I'm going to do it, right? I don't have a master plan here. And in fact, this site and this blog is part of what's emerging is like, well, I don't know what we're going to do, but let's share it as we do it. And you can come along for the ride with me if that's interesting to you. And like I say, you can start benefiting from the book. So you want to get in the second half of the show. Numbers to call, 866-254-1579, toll free in the U.S. and Canada. And from outside the U.S., you can dial your country code, followed by 760-918-4300. You can follow me on Twitter at Michael_Neil. You can follow me on Facebook at facebook.com/mneil, N-E-I-L-L. And as always, you can find more stuff out at supercoach.com. And a quick shout out to Dr. Robert Holden. If you have not picked up his new book, Lovability, go pick up his new book, Lovability. It came out this week. I was lucky enough to get an advanced copy. And it is just a perfect expression of the loving person that I know Dr. Robert Holden to be. So we're going to be right back with more of your calls and more thoughts on the problems with advice right after this short break. We'll be right back.
Transform your life today. Welcome to Super Coach with Michael Neal.
We are back and we're talking about the problem with advice. And one of the ways of thinking about it is that, and this is how I write about it in the new book, Inside Out Revolution, that regardless of our personalities, regardless of our personal histories, we all have somewhere within us a deeper essence. And that's an essence that's untouched by circumstances. It's untouched by conditioning. And in fact, in the East, they would call it the unconditioned self. And while the unconditioned self may be the accurate description, I've heard it called the light within. I've heard it called the inner flame. And it's that thing inside us that's the source of our fundamental sense of inspiration. It's our crackle. It's our aliveness. Some of my clients call it the twinkle, right? And it's that spark of life inside you that appears as a twinkle in the eye from the outside. Or Jack Canfield said the other day, I was interviewing him for the upcoming Hay House World Summit series, and he said, meditator's eyes, where the eyes are shining, lit from within. And that inner glow, what that is pure consciousness. But what happens is we get caught up in thought. And we get cut off from that purity of consciousness, that purity of mind. And the problem is we don't notice it at first. We just have this vague sense that something's off. Something's not quite right. I don't know, I'm a little off. You know, work's just not as fulfilling as it once was. Or, you know, my partner, I don't know. They're getting old. They're not as handsome as they were. They're not as beautiful as they were. You know, they're not as loving as I thought they were. And I mean, look, don't even get me started on what's wrong with me, because I'm a mess. Well, because we've been conditioned from birth to believe that the outside-in world is the real world, that what happens out there is what determines how we feel in there, what's the natural assumption that the path back to well-being, the path back to joy and peace of mind, has to be through getting a better job or a better partner or working on ourselves so that we can become a better person? And the irony, and this is kind of what I was talking to Lynette about, the irony is that the harder we work on changing ourselves in order to change how we feel, the more distant we become from our true self, from our unconditioned self, from our twinkle. And the more important it seems to keep working on all those things, and the more lost we get. So regardless of the problem that you think you need advice about, I'm going to tell you right now, your only real problem is feeling cut off from your innate wisdom and well-being. Because the moment you reconnect to that source, to that energy, to that inner clarity, your problems are just going to stop seeming so problematic. And you're going to feel connected and you're going to feel whole. And it will feel like you've moved into a whole new reality. And we'll maybe talk a little bit more about that before the end of the show. But let's go back to the phones and let's start with Maggie in Santa Clara. Maggie, welcome to the show. What are we going to talk about today?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. My problem is I'm a great advisor, and based on the feedback that I get from my friends and family members, any advice I give them, it's very well, said, and actually they follow my advice. They always appreciate that, and they usually come to me for my advices. However, I'm the worst advisor to myself. And recently I decided to have my own company and I started a, exciting thing for me. However, it looks like I'm kind of stuck, and no matter how much I talk to myself, I cannot motivate myself. I cannot push myself to take that extra step to, improve the situation.
Now, so from your point of view, is the problem that you know what to do, but you can't get yourself to do it, or that you just don't know what to do?
You know, I cannot distinguish. Actually, I thought about that. I just cannot distinguish if I don't know what I need to do, maybe that's part of it. Or it's just I have so much, maybe, I don't know what it is. It's just, it looks like there are forces that holding me down, and I feel out of, you know, motivation, out of,
Here's what I hear, Maggie. Right? I hear, I don't know if you do, did you hear the beginning of the show when I was giving the different scenarios?
Yes.
Right? So what I hear is somebody who at the moment in this situation has lost her bearings. So it's just, you're not sure. You're a little confused about it. You're kind of a little muddled up. You're not clear. Would that be fair?
That might be, yes.
Okay, great. Now, if you recognize that that's all that's going on, then the truth is, the nature of the mind, it's a self-clearing mechanism, is you'll get back to clear. Like when you stop trying so hard to figure it out, at some point, you must have had this experience in the past, you just kind of wake up and you know what to do. It's just apparent. You know, either the situation resolves itself one way or another, or you just get clear and kind of go, oh God, I'm just going to do this, or I know to do this. And then it moves on. Have you had that experience? Do you recognize that that happens?
Not recently.
No. Okay. Well, so that's interesting. So I would guess then that maybe that's why it really feels important for you to figure this out. Because if you don't have reference experiences, and I'm going to guess that after we're done talking, a few of them are going to come to mind of times in your life where you didn't know what to do and then you did, where you felt stuck and you kind of gave up. And then almost as soon as you gave up or a little bit after you gave up, it took care of itself, or you knew what to do to take care of it.
You know, actually, I have to admit, yes, it did happen to me. And that's why I have my own company. Mm-hmm. I decided to leave the previous job out of blue, and then everything worked out in a perfect way for me. So, I mean, I'm amazed of what happened after I decided to quit my job. And now that I'm starting this new thing, it's where I feel I'm stuck.
You're sure. So great. So that's exactly what I'm talking about. And it's the way that the mind is designed to work, mm-hmm. is via insight, via clarity, via knowing. Just we suddenly know, oh, I'm going to do this. And it doesn't matter whether it makes sense or not. Mm-hmm. We're clear and we move forward. Now here's what happens though. And this is what it sounds like is happening to you, is we have something like that and things really shift for us. And then we try to go back to figuring it out ourselves. We try to go back to working it out. So the way I've experienced it, and this is me, but I'll have an amazing insight, and I'll just kind of know, oh, I'm gonna do this program, or I'm gonna you know, invite this person to work with me, or I'm gonna, you know, take my family on this holiday, and then and things start to work out. And then I get to a point where the finish line is in sight. Like I can see, oh my gosh, this could actually work. And in my head, I can hear this little voice going, okay, God, I'll take it from here. Mm. It's like I'll absolutely allow this deeper wisdom to guide me, this deeper intelligence. But I suddenly start wanting to get really involved when I get close to it actually having to work out.
Well, I feel that I have to do something to help him out.
Well, and that may or may not be true. You know, the truth is neither of us know whether or not that's true. Mm-hmm. We know that it looks like that to you at least some of the time. But there's a difference between, because I'm going to guess there have been other situations where you've seen somebody in trouble and you've not even thought about it. You've just gone in and done what needed to be done. Yeah. And the fact that it isn't a no-brainer, the fact that you have to stop and think about it, suggests simply to me that you don't know yet. And if you're willing to stay in the unknown a little longer, mm-hmm. and not try to force an answer, that's the space where insights happen. Hanging out in the unknown is the only surefire way I know of getting insight.
So it's okay to stay where I am until the answer comes to me.
Well, in fact, it's not only okay. I mean, certainly it's okay with me, but I mean, it's not only okay. It's how you make use of the system. That's like somebody saying to me, hey, the bus hasn't come yet. Is it okay for me to stay at the bus stop while I wait for it? Or should I go run around in the field? Will that make it come quicker? Mm. You know, the truth is, you're going to know by being available to insight when it comes up. And that only happens when you're present with yourself, not when you're off trying to work it out and force a solution.
I got it.
Very cool, Maggie.
Well, thank you so much for your advice.
Thank you. I love that you think that's what it was.
Well, I'm going to give it a shot. It made me more relaxed now.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah. No, I understand, and I can hear it in your voice. That's great. Thank you for calling, Maggie. Call us back. Let us know.
I will. Thank you so much.
Okay. And you know, I hope Maggie knows that I was just teasing about, you know, my advice, because I suppose you could call it that. My advice is chill out, folks. It's going to work itself out. Let's go to New Jersey and let's talk to Chris. Chris, welcome to the show. What are we going to talk about today?
Hi. Sorry, I missed the first part of the show. I fully intend to archive it. And by the way, I love your lighthearted approach to heavy-duty philosophy. It pleases me. Thank you so much for being you. Anyway, I have a son who's 30. He's always been terrific, so I've never had to interfere in his life. He does what he wants. He lives where he wants. I've just kind of been there with the ropes should he need them, but I keep way back and let him navigate that, and it's worked really well. Right now, he's desperate for another job because he dislikes his job. Job market being what it is, he is turning to the military because for some reason they're hiring when nobody else is.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like really brainy. He graduated with every award. He's won every marathon. He's like top guy on earth. He has a master's degree. He could do anything he wants. And out of his frustration, he's willing to go into war. Now, I consider myself, you know, a liberal person. He could do anything on God's green earth, and I would say, blessings, my dear. Somehow the universe has played a weird trick on me, I'm being ridiculous. But this is like the one thing that flips me out, that he could put his vibrant health of mind and body in line. Usually war is like a tragedy that men are drafted into, like you don't go sign up. And I don't know how to approach it because I've never had to counsel him or go at him through teenage years or anything before.
Well, here's my question for you, Chris. I want to make clear first that, look, as a parent, right, I got three kids. I've got an 18-year-old son. I've been very conscious a couple of times. It, you know, came up, you know, would I be okay if he went into the military? We're not a military family, you know, in any way, shape or form. I've watched friends of my son and friends of my daughter who are going into the Marines, going into the Army,
mm-hmm.
and spent time with them. And I've realized that I don't know what's best for anyone. Now, this is me. I'm not saying that this is a universal truth. But what has become very apparent to me is the fact that it's not the choice I would make if it were my choice,
mm-hmm.
has really nothing to do with anything.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my experience generally of anybody is that when they know that they're loved absolutely and unconditionally,
mm-hmm.
they relax into themselves. And that when people relax into themselves, they have a deep connection to wisdom. So the very fact that you have an opinion that is so strong, I'm not suggesting you don't express it if it's there. That's mm-hmm. that's going to be up to you. But if that in any way, it feels like a manipulation, like, hey, I love you, but I'll love you more if you make this decision.
Mm-hmm.
That inevitably, because we all want to be loved, we all want that feeling, that's gonna trigger a bunch of thinking in him. That depending on his state of mind, he'll either be able to brush off and ignore and stay in touch with his wisdom, or he'll get caught up in it. And he won't be clear about what to do, and he'll get more and more frustrated. And he'll make the best decision he can see, but he'll be looking through, you know, with one eye shut and a bit of mud on the other one. Does that make sense? Can you see how that unfolds?
Yeah, it does. I mean, I wonder if, I know on a gut level that sounds sort of right. I just am wondering if there are concrete things to bring up, like, you know, you're going to get Forvac. He's like a super health freak and a weightlifter. You know, they're going to slap you with four vaccines on the spot. You know, should I bring up the post-traumatic stress disorder? Should I bring up, like, statistics in the way of examining pros and cons, or should I just zip it?
Well, look, here's the difference between what I just heard you say and what I think you probably mean.
Mm-hmm.
What I just heard you say is, should I put a curse on him so that he's focused on everything bad that's likely to happen if he goes into the army? Right. Now, I don't think that's what you meant. Right.
No.
But that's how that would come across. It's like, hey, you know, you know, that thing's going to give you cancer. Thanks, Mom. It's one thing. See, if you took a deeper look, I'm going to guarantee you, and I know this because I did this,
mm-hmm.
because I had to look at this in my own family. Mm-hmm. You're going to find that actually for all the things that, you know, as nice, you know, liberals from the Northeast, that we grew up thinking about the military,
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of really wonderful things that the military does for people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just employing them. It's mm-hmm. not just opportunity. There's a lot of training. There's a lot of skills. There's an incredible level of camaraderie.
Mm-hmm.
There's a real tapping into your potential that's very difficult to do in the conventional world.
Mm-hmm.
It teaches people about leadership. It teaches people about what it really means to be there for another person.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you could get yourself, if you took an honest look at it and were able to see that, yes, I'm not saying that all the things that you're worried about aren't also possible, but really saw, wow, there's a lot of great stuff that could happen and there's a lot of awful stuff that could happen.
Mm.
You could probably from that place have a very honest conversation with him about your fears and about your hopes. But as long as it looks to you like this is just bad and you're trying to prevent him from making the worst mistake of his life, well, that's how he's going to hear it.
Mm. Yeah, I got it. Yeah, I have to, like, cultivate some more neutrality within myself because he reads me very well. As
of course
all our
he
kids
does.
Read
us. Our kids totally read us. And it's not cultivating a neutrality for neutrality's sake. It's actually getting yourself to the place where you really can see the truth of it, which is, heck, any job in the world you can find a lot of bad things about and a lot of good things about.
Yeah.
Yep. It's an authentic neutrality. Like, I don't know. It might work out great. It might be terrible.
Mm.
That's just true of anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. I'm really happy I called and got through to you because I think this is sitting better now.
Beautiful. Well,
yeah.
I God, treasure that connection that you guys have because
yes.
that's what it's all about.
Yeah, that's the biggest share of the whole deal. Regardless of what he does.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, well, many thanks.
Thank you, Chris.
Yep, bye.
Bye-bye. You know, and you know, look, that was a hard one for me. I grew up, you know, at the tail end of Vietnam, and I remember my brother, it was a real question about whether he was going to get drafted, and you know, that was something that my generation just grew up with a lot of fear around, at least where within the part of the world that I grew up. And it's been really healing to kind of look beyond my own conditioning around it and see that, well, there's a lot of other things that are true too. And the truth is that, you know, his experience, anyone's experience of the military or of a new job or of a different country or of a relationship, that's their experience. And it's going to be really, and it's an experience of their own thinking and not so much an experience of the details of the situation. All right, let's see if we can get one more in. Let's go to Philadelphia and let us talk to our friend Dan. Hey, Dan, welcome to the show again. And what are we going to talk about today?
Yes, hi, Michael. Thank you very much for taking my call. Hey, House Free, it was very much a blessing as well as you in my life. And I just wanted to talk about confusion. Oftentimes you talk about driving blind, and with the outside-in approach, you know, the opposite of what you usually talk about or the balance of it, I've been diagnosed with schizophrenic. I think we talked about this before, but the outside-in is telling me that that there's something wrong with the way that I'm thinking, but from the inside out, I just like try to be calm and peace and be in tune with my soul. Mm. And is there a balance to that? Or I just wanted to conversate about that.
Well, the first thing that occurs to me, and I have to do the disclaimer, I am not a doctor. Nothing I say constitutes medical advice.
Right.
And that's true. Okay.
Okay.
I can tell you some of my experience in working with schizophrenics over the years.
Okay.
And you know, it's everyone is very different. But for me, I remember the first time that I was ever asked to have a conversation with a schizophrenic, and it was unofficial. It was, you know, they were clear I wasn't a therapist, and it was just a chat between two people trying to get on in the world.
Right.
And I remember being kind of freaked out about it because I thought, oh my God, I don't know about schizophrenia. That's a thing. And then I started to think, well, hang on, what constitutes a diagnosis of schizophrenia? And I recognized that one of the things is visual hallucinations, that there are certain visual aspects of their thought that they see that they can't tell the difference between something that's necessarily really there and something that they're thinking. And I thought, well, that's true of everybody, right? It's more pronounced in someone that gets diagnosed as schizophrenic often, where you know, we can tell a lot of our thoughts are just thought, and somebody who's maybe got a diagnosis, more of their thought looks real to them, but it's just a line on a continuum. In other words, I don't know anyone who from time to time doesn't get confused between what's going on in their head and what's going on outside their head.
Right, because I feel that the thoughts that I entertain sometimes, I'm trying to think, I was thinking about this. This is sometimes happens. I lose clarity, like the windshield became muddy. But the thing is, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, no, so what you said at the beginning is really, to me, the key to the whole thing.
Okay.
Is if you get that, hey, I do better when I'm pretty calm.
Right.
Right. I do better when I stay more centered and don't get quite so excited about whatever's going on in my head.
Okay.
I find it easier to navigate from that place. Well, okay. That's your wisdom. That is your wisdom guiding you. If you stay with that calmer feeling, if you stay with that clearer wisdom, it will guide you through whatever your brain's going through that's been diagnosed on the outside as schizophrenia.
Okay.
And my experience is, and this isn't 100%, but that the more you're able to be in that calm place inside, the more your brain almost rewires itself and it gets less and less. So I'm not saying it'll automatically self-heal and you'll be cured and I don't know. That'd be neat. But I know that if you can stay with that feeling as much as the time as you can, if you can stay with that centered calm, you're going to do the absolute best that it's possible to do.
Yeah, it could only get better. Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay. Thank you, Michael. You're a bright light in the world, and I really look up to you, and I thank you for all the time you spent with me on the radio shows, and just have a great day.
Thank you, Dan. We are finished for another week. How does it happen? Where does the time go? I hope you've enjoyed the show. If you want to learn more, check out supercoach.com or the new site for the new book, InsideOutRevolution.com. Until next time, have fun, learn heaps, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye for now.